Right, let's learn together two pieces from the Shemi Shmuel and a very beautiful piece from a Maimer from the Chavetz Chaim, which I think will in some ways be a hemshech of those we were here last time. Just some thoughts in terms of coming back to America from Eretz Yisrael, those who have been learning in Yeshiva, and to help us understand a little bit the process of Sfiras Omer, to understand what we're trying to do during Sfiras Omer. Okay, we'll start with two pieces from the Shemi Shmuel. Shemi Shmuel, of course, was the Rebbe of Sakhachev, the son of the Avnei Nezer, the grandson of the Kotzker Rebbe. And he writes in a piece from Tafresh Ayin Ches. What year is that, Tafresh Ayin Ches?
19.
Tafresh Ayin Ches, what year are we in now? Okay, we're in Tafshin, so Tafresh would be 100 years ago. Okay, so 100 years ago, the Shemi Shmuel said the following. It's a beautiful Jew. There's a picture hanging in our shir room over in the other building. Mamish, a beautiful Hadras Panim, the Shemi Shmuel. I only know one picture of the Shemi Shmuel, but it's a Mamish, a beautiful, beautiful face. Beautiful, illuminated, shining tzaddik. He writes, you see in the bottom right-hand corner, V'chiper aleha kohen v'tahera. Right? There's a process. We learned this past week's parsha, Isha ki tazria. There's a process of a woman who gave birth to a child, becoming pure. And there's stages. There's various stages of that process. There's various stages of getting back to herself, so to speak. Hine shlosha chalukei tara heim bioletis. Acher shiva tahora labaila ulamaiser sheni. After 7 days, she's permitted to her husband, even though she may still be seeing blood. That's the chiddush of the parsha. There's a concept of dam tahor. After 7 days, she's permitted to her husband and to the consumption of Maiser Sheni. Acher arbaim yom nitra af l'truma. After 40 days, if she's married to a Kohen, she's eligible to eat truma. And then lastly, al yedei havas ha-karban nitara l'kodesh u'l'mikdash. And when she brings her karbanos, now she has a sheiches to achilas kodshim, and to entering holy places, entering the mikdash. Says the Shemi Shmuel, what are these three stages? What are these three stages that the woman's going through? And how does it relate to us, Klal Yisrael? Just to give us some context here, right? Let's remind ourselves what it says in Parshas Va'eschanan. It says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Pesach seems like a long time ago already, we're holding by a Lag B'Omer almost, but this whole tekufa of transitioning from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Kabbalah Satorah is really Klal Yisrael becoming Klal Yisrael. It's the birth of Klal Yisrael. That's what it is. That's what we're still reading about a woman who gives birth and going through that process of the birthing of the child and the woman's restoration of herself. And that's why the Pasuk highlights in Parshas Va'eschanan that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, what does the Torah say about us? It was Mamish, Goy Mikarev Goy. Goy Mikarev Goy means a nation from within another nation. The image of something within something else is the image of a child within its mother. And the Medrash says that Hashem had to really yank us out, had to extract us from Mitzrayim. We were so deeply connected to Mitzrayim that there was a process of birthing Klal Yisrael, to be born out of Mitzrayim, to pull one nation out of another nation. Because on the surface, it didn't look like two different things. That was the tine of the angels by the Yamsuf. Why are these any different than these? They look the same to me. Hashem says, no, I see a different nation emerging from within this nation. So says the Shem Yishmol, V'hinei b'lekutei tor me'arizal, him shel es yitzias Mitzrayim, yitzias Yisrael mi'Mitzrayim, Kedugmas leidas havlat. Ayin sham b'parsha shmos b'arichus. In the Likutei Torah of the Arizal in Parsha Shmos, he makes many, many, many comparisons between the birth of a child and the birth of Klal Yisrael. A lot has been written about this. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, world of the Vilna Gaon, the early Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, Yad Mitzrayim, has a very lengthy essay all about this topic, about how the various stages, just like Mitzrayim, the Meitzar, right? The Meitzar, the Meitzar means person who feels trapped. I mean, Meitzar, Karasi, Ka, the same way the baby is in such tight quarters while living with inside the mother. And then when the child emerges to the world, and all the different aspects and the various stages of the child's development and the birth of the child all mirror something very precise in Klal Yisrael's development, the birth of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting. The Shemi Shmuel's father, the Avnei Nezer, we have a several volume set from the Avnei Nezer from the Tzaddikim of Sakhachev called Naos HaDesha. And in the Naos HaDesha, in one of the pieces on Pesach, he explains, why is Chametz so serious? The Brisker Rav said a similar thing. Why is chametz so serious on Pesach? Why is chametz such a big deal? Aser b'mashal, right? That's the halacha. Everyone's trying to figure it out. The Radbaz and his famous tshuva is trying to figure out what's going on. Aser b'mashal. Why are we so crazy about chametz? A little bit of chametz. Batel b'rov, batel b'shishim, batel b'meya, batel b'masayim, something. No, never batel. Why? What's so dangerous about a little bit of chametz? So Avnei Nezer says it's very simple. It's like a child who was just born. Klai Yisrael were just born. A child who was just born, the dietary restrictions for a child who was just born are very demanding. You can't make a mistake. Oh, you know, oh, sorry, sweetie, the baby was sick and I accidentally gave him double the dose of Tylenol. I could kill a baby. For an adult, it's not a big deal at all, but for a kid, that's mamash pikuach nefesh. So therefore, when Klai Yisrael are being born, there's tremendous, tremendous sensitivities. If chametz is the Yetzirah, a little bit of chametz at that stage in our existence could kill us. So the Arizal says that everything that's happening during Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's all mashal nimshal for the birth of a child. The Yesh Lomar, and therefore, the Kamoshio led this Yeshba Shlosha Chiluke Tara on Yisrael. So just like a woman after she gives birth to a child is going through three stages of her own restoration, of coming back to herself. Ayin Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, this past week's parsha. Rav Hirsch explains the whole process of the Tara of the woman. Again, it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing that a woman who gave birth, and we'll talk about it through the lens of the Shem Yishmuel in the second piece, but it's a strange thing that at such a joyous moment, in the birth of a child, there's a tumah. And Rav Hirsch, in his unique style, Rav Hirsch explained, yes, because there's something about the creation of the child that is so much focused. Again, we think of the Gemara Nida, that the baby is sitting with a malach and he's learning Kol HaTorah Kula. The simple, you know, physical reality is that the woman's body is going through a very intense trauma, both during the development of the child and certainly at the moment of giving birth. It's to such a degree that the woman loses, again in the language of Hirsch, her morality a little bit. She gets so caught up in being aware of her body that she loses sight of her spirit, of her neshama. And therefore, the tumah process is giving her time to separate, so to speak, a little bit, and to just think. And to be able to contemplate her own humanity and to get back to it. And Rav Hirsch develops that in a very beautiful and very Hirschian, you know, Rav Hirsch language. Okay? So says the Shem Yishmuel in his own way, again, really expounding on the Arizal, that these three stages represent three stages of, again, of her coming back to herself, the three stages of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the birth of Klal Yisrael. Again, let's read inside. V'yesh lomar, d'kamoshi oledes yesh bo shlosha chalukei tara, so too, the Jewish people also needed to detach, so to speak, in three stages from Mitzrayim. Lavoya, Paro escorted us out of Mitzrayim. Right? Thank you very much, Paro. We don't need escort. But the problem was, Goy mikarev of Goy. We weren't really ready to let go. In a certain sense, we couldn't let go of Paro. Paro couldn't let go of us. We were leaving. That was the Messias. But Paro was escorting us out. My father, my holy father, explained, he says. The Avnei Nezer explained. My father, the Admor from Sokachov, explained. It was hard. It's hard to shake off that slave mentality. It's very hard for a person who spent the last 210 years in slavery, right? As much as a person wants to go free, heard of Stockholm Syndrome, there's all sorts of psychological components to leaving my oppressor. I know this is a destructive relationship for me. I got to get out of here. But it's hard. I don't know anything else. And mamash don't know anything else. I gave a shiur before Pesach. I referenced the movie Shawshank Redemption, for those who remember. If you remember that Brooks, when he gets out of jail, for those who will admit to seeing the movie, when Brooks gets out of jail, he kills himself. Why does he kill himself? Because he doesn't know anything else. His whole chaver's in jail. He doesn't know how to function in the world. It's so sad. He's walking down the street. The world is his prison. The jail is his comfort zone. Goy mikarev goy. So Hashem says, I can't just take you out of Mitzrayim in one shot. It doesn't work like that. It's going to be a process of getting to some healthy place. So at first, Klal Yisrael has alluded to the fact that power is escorting us out of Mitzrayim. Says the Rabbi of Sokachov, it's very hard for us to let go. The kavanaso harosh etum aso od tirachef aleim lemashchem berishto lachzor l'mitzrayim. Power was still trying to keep us caught up in his net, that we're not able to truly free ourselves from Mitzrayim. And when we finally seemed like we were starting to get away, as we're getting closer to freeing ourselves from Mitzrayim, right? First, Paro sent his spies. When Paro saw we weren't coming back, Paro himself came after us. He came chasing after us. Ad kriyas yamsuf, she'oz nifrudah mehem tumas Mitzrayim. Going through the yamsuf was like going through the mikvah. Many comparisons in the svarim. The Klai Yisrael were now what? Cleansing themselves from Mitzrayim in a different way. And they saw the Mitzrayim dead al sfas hayam. Another madrega of freeing themselves from Mitzrayim. Osam shivas hayam heim dugmas shivas hayam shal yoledes shadayin b'chol chomer tumasa. Uvekriyas yamsuf hisigu tara, like the woman who's being matara herself to Baila, to her husband. Right? So too, Klai Yisrael were going through that awesome mikvah called Kriyas Yamsuf. Kein hochshu Yisrael tapatul afkalim l'shira v'dveikus b'Hashem Yisbarach achilas haman. Right? Just like, again, the yoledes goes through a process. First she can eat Maiser Sheni, then she can eat Truma, then she can eat Kodshim. So too Klai Yisrael, achilas haman, which began, of course, in these days of Chodesh Iyar. Until finally they were able to come to HaKadosh Baruch and have a face-to-face encounter with HaKadosh Baruch. And again, these are the various stages. They brought the karbanos, the same way the Isha Hayoledes brings her karbanos, and then we're mamish, you know, we're there, we're back. So the pnimius of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the birth of Klal Yisrael. And again, the birth is a move towards Tara, a move away, a levels and levels of detaching oneself from the Tumah of Mitzrayim, allowing ourselves to experience the Tara of being Klal Yisrael, being Knesset Yisrael. Until finally, like the Kala, who hopefully is pure at the wedding, right? Such a thing as Chuppas Nida, I'm sure some of you know. But under normal circumstances, if the Kala comes to the wedding and she's ready to get married, she's gone through the process of preparing herself for the wedding, so Gavaldik, that's how the Kedushas Levi explains Sfira. 7 weeks, can I get the 7 days that a woman prepares herself for her husband? In a very small piece the Shlevi has in Sfira. Okay, so the whole process of the birth of Klal Yisrael is moving away from Tumah towards Tara. Which brings me back to Rav Hirsch, and now let's really ask the question. Turn to page 2. If you look in an earlier piece in this past week's parsha from the Shem Yishuel, from Tafresh Ayin Dalid, from 1914, so the Shem Yishmuel says, hold on a second. I am very confused about something. My grandfather, the Kotzker Rebbe, was very confused. The Shem Yishmuel's father, Avnei Nezer, was married to the daughter of the Kotzker. And the Kotzker was the Sarof Mikotz, the fiery one from Kotz. The last 20 years of his life was essentially, you know, not available to the world. Spent it in his room. Kotzker was a very, very deep and mysterious and fiery, fiery tzaddik. Person came to Kotz one time and said, you know, I came to Kotz to discover God. I came to Kotz to discover God. Where did you come from? I came from Vilna. So God's in Vilna also. What do you come to Kotz for? So he says, Rebbe, I came to Kotz to discover myself. Oh, that we could work on here. That's something we specialize in Kotz. That's something we do over here. Yeah? So the Kotzker asked a simple question. And I think built on what we just learned, the question is that much stronger. How could it be? To say it so straight and so simple. How could it be, says the Kotzker, quoted by his grandson, the Shem Yishmuel, Tafresh Ayin Dalet, Inyan Tumas Hayoledes. My grandfather, the holy Kotzker, asked, Hiksha, Halo Mafteach Shochaya Hu Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is maybe nothing in this world as miraculous that a human being could be mindful of. I remember the birth of all four of our children. Again, there's a lot of halachos in terms of what you're allowed to, where you're allowed to be, what you're allowed to see, right? But seeing your child for the first time, I especially have a clear image of our first child being born. For 9 months, I had the opportunity to warm up to the possibility that my wife is going to give birth to a child. I saw it growing inside of her. But when that baby comes out, it is the most miraculous, crazy thing in the world. Like that, there's a real baby now. There's a person here that wasn't here. I mean, it was here, but like now it's really here. There's nothing more miraculous. Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem. It's such an unbelievable nes nigla. Mamish, open miracle. And yet, it's marked in the Torah by what? By a tumah. What's even stranger, what the Kotzker is alluding to in his question, v'hiksha, halo mafteach shalchai hu biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember the Gemara in Tanis? Anyone here learn Tanis? The beginning of Tanis, it says there are several keys that Hashem doesn't give out to anyone else. Maybe he lends it, Tosfos says once in a while. But there are several keys that Hashem has bialis over. One of the keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to, and he orchestrates, he uses it himself, he doesn't entrust it to a malach, he does it himself, is what? Is childbirth. Which means at the moment the child is being born, Hashem's presence, the Hashras HaShechina, is super strong. So how could it be, says the Kotzker, that at the birth of a child there's such a tumma? That Hashem's presence brings with it a tumma. It's so hard to understand. Hayitocha in shetimashich means a tumma? How does a tumma come about from childbirth? You hear that? Everyone hears the question? Good question. Especially if you understand the Gemara in Tanis, that Hashem is the one who's responsible, mamish, every step of the way to make that baby come to this world. So how could it be that there's a tumma? V'tireitz sha'atumma ba'acharkach. This is why it's a shmuz for post-Pesach Bachar. The tumma is not when Hashem is present in the room allowing this woman to experience the miracle of childbirth. The tumma is knowing that Hashem was in the room, and the fear, or maybe the reality, that after Hashem is done, serving as the doctor, Hashem retreats back to the heavens. And that void is where the tumma really hits hard. Knowing that I was in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I didn't hold on to Hashem, and I let Him slip out of my hands. Now again, that may not be a choice, we have to figure that out. But the tumma is not the Kotzker said in his very, again, terse style, the tumma is not the birth of a child. The tumma is knowing that I was in a makum of Hashras HaShechina, and now I'm not anymore. And that hurts. And that pain is the tumma that the woman is feeling. My father, he says, the Avnei Nezer explained it further, in case you don't know what the Kotzker is hinting to in his very short statement. Perish Devarav, Shu Ke'ein Tam Zohar Kadosh B'Tumas Meis. What is Tumas Meis? And why is it unique in that it applies to Jews different than non-Jews? What is the tumma that comes with the death of a Basar Adam, of a person? You have to understand, Kedusha creates a barrier against tumma. The more Kedusha there is, the more the tumma is held at bay. But the Yetzer Hara, like the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Torah, Lepesach Chatas Rovetz, sin is crouching at the door. The second you let down your guard, the Yetzer Hara wants, it's ready to sink its teeth into that place of Kedusha. So when there was something holy, and now that protection has been removed, there's a tremendous, tremendous danger. There was a shmira that's been lost. This is part of the Inyan that Archaim HaKadosh explains in his writings in Halacha. He talks about, the Archaim HaKadosh talks about the Zohar in terms of Odom Kiyomas Ba'oel. He talks exactly about this piece. But the Archaim in his writings in Halacha, in Yeradei and Hilchos Mezuzah, also talks about this. What's this Inyan? Ever hear this Inyan? And like, you saw Yash, you're not allowed to take down the mezuzahs, right? By the way, it doesn't mean you have to give it to the person who's moving into your house for free. You can put it as part of the bill. You buy the house and you pay a fee for the mezuzahs as well. But what's this Inyan of not taking down the mezuzahs? The mezuzah is a chovas hadar, the one who lives there. These are my mezuzahs. I'm leaving. I can take my mezuzahs. No. Because mezuzah created a certain shmira in the bias. So now to remove that shmira is unbelievably dangerous. Because now the tumah is going to come attacking. The Pesach Atas Rovis, the tumah is sitting right outside the house. The second those mezuzahs are down, the second, so to speak, the force field is down, the shmira is down, the guard is down, the Yitzhar is waiting to attack. So Tumas Meis, when you have a neshama in your body, the neshama automatically, the radiance of the neshama repels the Yitzhar, repels the Tumah. But the second, the mashal that the Rechaim HaKadosh and others give, right, is like a person who's eating a very sweet item, the bees start to swarm around. So while the person's still busy eating it, so he'll drive away the bees. But as soon as he's done, and there's still, again, a little residue at the bottom of the bowl, and he puts down the bowl, and the Adam takes a step back, the bees are all over that. They're just waiting for the moment that they can attack. So the neshama is protecting the body while a person's alive. But as soon as what? As soon as the neshama ceases to be in the body, the kochas atumah are mishtokakim. They're eager, lidvok b'makom shayisavu kedusha, they want to grab on. V'achanami b'pnei zeh gufa shayashor inyan aloki. Hainu mafteach shel chaya, sheinenu nimser b'yad ha-shliach, el ha-kadosh baruch hu ba'atmu ha-poseach. So since Hashem himself was in the birthing room, it wasn't just the doctor, it wasn't just the OBGYN, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atzmo helping this woman give birth to a Jewish child with a Jewish neshama. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves, so to speak, there's a tremendous danger. V'achar kach kishnistalek ha'inyin ha'aloki. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when that elokus, that hashras elokus, retreats to the heavens, then zeshorim l'umaso kochos ha'tumah. And the tumah comes attacking immediately. And Chavir, this is something to really think about. Because if you just came back from Ratzenu HaKadosha not that long ago, and you were able to be on a sort of madrega, there's a feeling sometimes when a person again transitions out of full-time learning that I've let my guard down. And the Yitzhahara has been waiting the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, however long I've been in yeshiva, he's waiting to hit me hard. And sometimes people get hit pretty hard. Because again, I don't have that shmira anymore. I don't have that protection anymore. So what's the avoda? So the avoda is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to help this child be born, don't let Hashem leave. How do you not let Hashem leave? How do we keep Hashem in the picture? By keeping Hashem in the picture. It's as simple as that. By making sure that I keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. The only thing that changes in terms of coming to college now, in addition to being in yeshiva, as opposed to just being in yeshiva, the only thing that changes is the hours of your schedule. But if your attitude towards Torah remains the way that it was, then you're safe. Then you'll be protected. That's hard for people when they see that their schedule is changing. How can I possibly claim that I'm as serious about Torah as I was in yeshiva? I'm simply not learning as much here. So for that, we turn to the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, take a look. Everyone going to daven Maariv here after? Okay, it's good. So 7-8 more minutes. Take a look. There's a sefer from the Chafetz Chaim, really one of the first Svarim, Shana Aleph, that I fell in love with, as I was first beginning to hear about Svarim and learn Svarim. There's a little sefer from the Chafetz Chaim who wrote many, many contrasts and many, many Svarim called Torah Habayis. Anyone hear of it? Yeah. Okay. In the back of the Torah Habayis, in the Chasimas HaSefer, in the back of the sefer, he has some additional essays, at least in this edition as it's printed. And in the first mimer, he explains a tremendous yisod in what it means to make Torah primary in our lives. And it may not be what you've always assumed. Who's more serious about Torah? A guy who's learning full-time, or a guy who's learning in yeshiva with university? And that's not a fair question. Because a lot of it has to do with not how many hours they're billing, but what their attitude is. Take a look. Let's read inside. We're going to read on the left-hand side of the page, on page Kuftes. Ha'adam, you see? Ha'adam, the Halig of Chafetz Chaim. Ha'adam asher be'emes yodeya hu. Ki bi'oso la'olam rak b'shvil avodas Hashem yizbach. It's a question of priorities. It always is. It's never a question of just, Hashem's not interested in who can score more points. Hashem wants to know, Rachman Ali Babai, Gemara in Sanhedrin, what's the intention of what anything that you're doing? Eretz Yisrael could just be, I always tell guys, you need to be so careful. Eretz Yisrael could literally just be another superficially more religious version of being on the hockey team in high school, or the basketball team, or whatever you were into. Right? Meaning I was competitive on the court, now I'm competitive in the base medrash. And then I get to the next stage of life, and I'm competitive about making more money than the next guy, and having a nicer car and a bigger house. What's my kavana? So says the Chafetz Chaim, if a person knows that my focus in my life is avodas Hashem, lisagel lo Torah mitzvos, chalila levatel kvias itim lo Torah kol yom, then I have to be the type of person who, yes, who makes a serious commitment to whatever my schedule allows for, to take it seriously. Shebishvil shah hahi amel kol hayom b'zeh esapayim. What a line! That I might be schwitzing all day as an accountant, as a lawyer, as a doctor, as a whatever. I may be schwitzing all day to make a living, schlepping around, running around, who knows what. I'm a salesman, I'm in marketing, I'm in management, I work on Wall Street. Right? Schwitzing all day to get to what? To get to that 1 hour, to get that 1 hour night sitter I have every night in the base medrash. V'im lo yagia lazeh, ma yishaer lo mikol amalo. V'eich yuchol likros shem Hashem al amalo, im letachliso lo ba. But if I take that, if I don't make it to that hour, if I don't reach that hour, then I'm in big trouble. And if I do reach that hour, the Atar is going to say to me, but it was only an hour. Let's do a little math. Let's do a little basic math. 12 hours in your office and 1 hour in the base medrash. That doesn't look so good. That doesn't look like a good stat. So look how the Chavetz Chaim explains the Maamar Chazal. V'zeu kavanas Chazal. Chazal, I believe this Chazal is in Avos Rabbi Nasan. Chazal explained, Im adam ose torah so ikar umalachto tfeila, osen lo ikar bolam haba. If a person makes his Torah primary and his malacha secondary, so he becomes primary in the world to come. That's not bad. Who wouldn't want to be primary in the world to come? Says the Chavetz Chaim, primary and secondary has nothing to do with the number of hours you spend in the base medrash. A person can't fool himself if he has time to learn and he convinces himself he only has 15 minutes a day to learn. That's also a lie. Hashem's not an idiot. Can't trick a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Lav Dafka, the person who builds more hours, is the person who's more connected and more serious about Torah. A question of, what do I care about more? What's primary? The famous Rav Huttner piece that I'm sure many of you have learned, right? Explaining Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat on what? What pasuk am I thinking of? Ish lefi mahalalo. Remember? Remember this Torah? Rav Huttner on Pachad Yitzchak in Purim? Ish lefi mahalalo. Ish lefi mahalalo, Rabbeinu Yonah says, doesn't mean what? Not what do people say about him, ish, according to his reputation, lefi mahalalo, what they say about him, but an ish, a person is defined, lefi mahalalo, what does he praise? What does he really care about? Let's talk honest. Let's talk honest about this guy. What does he care about? This kolo guy, who's learning a lot of hours a day. But is he more impressed by Rabbi Kiva Eger? That's like old news. When he sees a nice car drive by, you see his eyes light up. So what does he care about? What's exciting to him? What's Iker in his life? Is it just about how many hours a person learns? Says the Chavetz Chaim. And again, you could take this to the Olam HaEmes with you. If you're nervous, just keep this photocopy and bring it to Hashem. The lav dafka b'misha amal al Torah kol hayom v'malach tarak zman muat. Iker doesn't mean the person who necessarily learns the most hours and spends very, very little time at his business, at his work. David HaMelech, as much as David HaMelech says, Shifti Yaveis Hashem Kol Yamei Chayai, David HaMelech was a warrior, David HaMelech was a leader, David HaMelech was a politician, David HaMelech was not in the base all day. I hate to break it to you. So what does David HaMelech mean when he says, Shifti Yaveis Hashem Kol Yamei Chayai? Because David HaMelech had priorities. Yes, I have to do a lot of other things to run my government. But never for a second do I lose sight of the tachlis of my life. The af lehefich, says the Chavetz Chaim. B'mi sha'amel b'malachto kol hayom. I have midterms, I have finals, it's a never-ending process of papers and tests and work. B'mnei sh'muchachu l'achayos, turn to the back page. Nafsho v'nefesh beiso. And my work is entirely justified. You know why? Because I have a big family. And I have big tuition bills, and I have a big mortgage, and I'm not living beyond my means at all. I'm just trying to live as an Orthodox person in 2018. You know how much money I need to make just to get by? It's hard. Every night I learn Bechavrusa 45 minutes, followed by Marav for 12 and a half minutes. Shah, Shtayim, time is generous, an hour or two. How many people have 2-hour night sitters, working people? Okay. Of course, says the Chavetz Chaim, Zulas Itam Apnuyos. Obviously, you know, there's Labor Day and, I don't know, President's Day and all the other days. She'ein Rashai Li Batal Mitorah Kol Zman Shu Panoi. Obviously, no one's giving you a free pass on your free time. You got to use it well. Aval Huskam Etzla. But look at the attitude of this guy. Ki Torasso Iker Tachliso. There is nothing more important to me than that hour. Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yimechai. I once saw a beautiful pshat in a volume of Shalos and Chuvos called She'elei Tzion. In the She'elei Tzion, Rabbi Eliezerov, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, no longer alive, he writes, what does David HaMelech mean, Kol Yimei Chayai? So again, I told you one pshat. Rav Hirsch says in his Peirush on Tehillim, Shifti Yuveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai means what? That I should see myself wherever I am, I should see myself as a Shliach of Hashem. Right? The Beis Hashem should be not only in the Beis Medrash. Wherever I am, it should be Beis Hashem. I was thinking the other week, that's the pshat, I think you could say a pshat, that's a possible pshat in Ashrei Yoshrei Beisecha. I have a new kavana when I say Ashrei now. Ashrei, praiseworthy is the person, Yoshrei, wherever I find myself sitting, Beisecha, is with the awareness that this could be a makom of Hasharas Hashchina. This could be Hashem's place. This could be your place, Hashem. But in the She'elei Tzion, in the Hagdama, He says another pshat. You know what David HaMelech means, Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai? He says David HaMelech's not building so many hours in the Beis Medrash. He's doing a lot of other things. But those moments that I am in the Beis Medrash, that's Mamish Kol Yimei Chayai. It's my chiyus. That's what gives me life. I go to work because I have to, and I do it proudly. But the moments, that hour, those 2 hours, whatever it is, that I'm kovei itim l'Torah, that is kol yimecha. I feel such a tremendous sense of joy and purpose in those moments that it justifies everything else. That's a person, says the Chafetz Chaim, who makes Torah ikar. Let's read it in his words, not mine. Again, if this person decides, ki Torah so ikar tachliso, and he wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. This is my kavua time. You could offer me $1 million to close my safe. I won't close it now. That's how much I believe in this half hour of Torah that I'm learning at night. Yes, I'm in my office for 12 hours a day. But it's entirely secondary in terms of what's the focus of my existence. It's just one big preparatory period, those 12 hours, to get me to that half hour of beloved chavrusa with the Kadosh Baruch. Oziyachashev lo leikar b'olam haba. Chafetz Chaim says that's what Chazal meant, that a person who makes Torah ikar is going to be ikar in the next world, is going to be primary in the next world, ikar in the next world. What an unbelievable thing! And the Chafetz Chaim concludes the passage, this paragraph at least, v'nafkamina gedola. And there's obviously, needless to say, a big difference mimi sheyachashev ikar b'olam haba l'mi sheyachashev tafa. Needless to say, we all want to be ikar in the next world. In yeshiva, maybe it's about putting in the most hours. There's a time and a place for that. But there's stages of life where the avoda changes a little bit. There's stages of life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be leaving, and there's this terrible fear that Hashras HaShchina, when I was born in yeshiva, so to speak, right? And Hashem's the one who had the key, who opened me up. Yair Hashem Panav Elecha, Gevaldik, Hashem, you allowed me to tap in to appreciate why I should care about any of this. But now I'm scared that you're going to leave. It looks like the Oledis becomes Tameh when Hashem leaves. I'm frightened. How am I going to keep Hashem in the picture? I can't do the same number of hours. True. Ain't Achanami. But in terms of my attitude doesn't have to change. My attitude of what I'm trying to be, who I'm trying to be, what's my essence, what's the focus of my day, that doesn't have to change. And a person who can hold on to this, the Chafetz Chaim says, I promise you, you're going to be Iker in the next world. A person who has his priorities in the right place, a person who's able to keep Hashem in the picture, even after Hashem has created him and is now retreating. And yes, there's a natural tumah that's going to set in for the Isha Yoledes. Right? Seems almost the opposite of Klai Yisrael, the first piece of the Shem Yishmol. Leaving Mitzrayim is moving away from tumah. How could there be such a tumah, says the Kotzker? At the moment Hashem is opening up her womb. Right? But the avodah is to try to hold on to Hashem. And holding on to Hashem again doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to spend as many minutes with Hashem every day in terms of quantity, but the quality of my relationship with Hashem doesn't have to change. So that's my bracha to all of us. We should recognize what it means to make Torah primary in our lives, and then Amir Hashem, like the Chafetz Chaim said, will be zocha to be primary in the world to come. Shkoyach. Thank you guys for coming.